deep off into the feelings and vibrations of the world when we come in, especially on the evening class. I want to give you a chance to set your intention, ask yourself, why did I come? What am I here for? What do I want to come of this? What is my purpose? What is my purpose? Why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here? What is my purpose? What would I like another way to look at? What's going on in my life right now that I'd like another way to look at? What's going on in your life right now that you'd like another way to look at? What's going on in your life right now that you'd like another way to look at? What are you here for? What do you want? I am sustained by the love of God. It's the answer to every problem that will confront you today and tomorrow and throughout time. In this world, you believe you are sustained by everything but God. Your faith is placed in the most trivial and insane symbols, pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people, and an endless list of forms of nothingness that you endow with magical powers. Pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, knowing the right people are your replacements for the love of God. Pills, money, protective clothing, influence, prestige, being liked, and knowing the right people are cherished to ensure a body identification. They are songs of praise to the ego. Don't put your faith in the worthless. The worthless won't sustain you. Only the love of the Creator will protect you in all circumstances. The love that the Creator has for you will lift you out of every trial, raise you high above all the perceived dangers of this world into a climate of perfect peace and surety. The Creator's love for you will transport you into a state of mind that nothing can threaten, nothing can disturb, or where nothing can intrude upon the eternal calm of you, the child of God. So put not your faith in the ego. Don't put your faith in the past. Don't put your faith in the illusions. They will fail you. Put all your faith in the love of God within you. It's eternal, changeless, and forever unfailing. This is the answer to whatever confronts you today. Through the love of God within you, you can resolve all seeming difficulties without effort and ensure confidence. Tell yourself this often today. It's a declaration of release from the belief in idols. To say you are sustained by the love of God, it is your acknowledgement of the truth about yourself. So let this idea that you are sustained by the love of God sink deep into your consciousness. Repeat it, think about it, let related thoughts come to you to help you recognize its truth. Allow peace to flow over you like a blanket of protection and surety. Let no idle and foolish thoughts enter to disturb your mind right now. That's the kingdom of heaven, having no worries, no cares, no anxieties. That's the resting place where your Creator placed you forever. I am sustained by the love of God. I am sustained by the love of God. I am sustained by the love of God. am sustained by the love of God. I 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 am sustained by the love of God. It must be that whatever threatens the peace of one of you is the equal threat to the peace of the other. The power of joining this blessing lies in the fact that it's impossible now for you or your brother to experience fear alone or to attempt to deal with fear alone. Never believe that this is possible or necessary. Yet just as this is impossible, so is it equally impossible that the Holy Instant come to either of you without the other. And the Holy Instant will come to both of you at the request of either one of you. Whoever is saner, I like that line, whoever is saner at the time the threat is perceived should remember how deep is his indebtedness to the other and how much gratitude is due to the other and be glad that they can pay their debt by bringing happiness to both. So let him remember this and say, so right now, if there's any relationship in your experience that the happiness or the peace is threatening that relationship, you say, I desire this holy instant for myself, that I may share it with my brother whom I love. It's not possible that I can have it without him or he without me. Yet it's wholly possible for us to share the peace now. And so I choose this instant as the one to offer to the Holy Spirit that his blessing may descend on us and keep us both in peace. So I'm saying that right now, I desire happiness for myself so I can share with you all whom I love. It's not possible that I can have peace and happiness right now without you. And it's also not possible that you can really have peace and happiness without me. But it's totally possible for us to share peace together right now in this circle right now. And so I choose this instant right here as the one to offer to the Holy Spirit, that is the voice for God, the higher self, so that Holy Spirit's blessing may descend on all of us, and keep us both in peace. Have y'all noticed that God seems to be invisible? Y'all notice that we constantly hear about a creator that seems to be invisible? That we keep hearing about a love that sometimes seems like it's invisible? Or we keep hearing about peace that seems like it's invisible? Or a state of freedom that looks like it's invisible? Or a state of wealth that looks like it's invisible? The Course in Miracles says that we are unlimited spiritual beings who are having a human experience, and we've forgotten who we are. Real and our spiritual identity, and so now we think we're just bodies running around trying to make it until the day we die, hoping that we can get what the Course calls a few shabby relationships that we try to hold together through bargains and possession and guilt, and hopefully we can have it until we die. And the Course is saying to us, the reason why you struggle, if you struggle, is because you're not fulfilling your function and you're not listening to what your higher self is guiding you to do. One of the most popular theories of this plane is that even though we don't know the big picture, we're supposed to be able to figure out what's best for ourselves, even though we know just a little bit of what the big picture looks like. So I sit up and I come up with my plan for my happiness, and then I try to make everybody else serve my plan. And whoever doesn't, you don't support me. Now I got a grievance. Now I'm in therapy trying to forgive you for what you didn't do. That's because you didn't take the part in the plan that I made up for my happiness that I gave you a script and a role for. And so now I'm mad at you. So that's where grievances come from. Grievances come from coming up with a script
for yourself or somebody else, and it looks like they don't act it out, and then we feel angry or we feel attacked or we feel non-supported. So it's basically coming from not assuming responsibility and not listening to our invisible teacher and our invisible guide. So this section, whoever says the Holy Spirit is also talking about love, or is talking about God, or is talking about our higher self. And in paragraph 3, now this whole section is about how do you become aware of the invisible being? If God is real, if the truth is real, if spirit is real, how do you become aware? How do you become aware of the love that's invisible? So it says in paragraph 3, the Holy Spirit is invisible, but you can see the results of the Holy Spirit's presence. And through the results of the presence of the Holy Spirit, you will learn that the Holy Spirit is there. Let's take it to another level. Love is invisible, but you can see the results of love's presence. And through the results of love's presence, you will know that it's there. So your love for me is invisible. The only way I'll be aware of the love that you have for me and the love I have for you is through the results of His presence. So it's through seeing the results of the presence of your love that I know that it's there. So you can think you love me. You can think it all day long, but it's invisible at that level. It's not until I actually see a result do I believe it's there. So more and more and more in my personal experience, I'm trying to pay less attention to words and more attention to the results. More attention to, you know, somebody say they love me, or somebody say they for me, if somebody say anything, it's like, that's wonderful. I'm so glad that you feel that way. I'm so glad that you just said that to me, but I believe it when I see a result, when I see an effect, when I see something physical that's come through you to demonstrate it. Because one of the dangers, especially when you get on the path of awakening, is that I love you gets tossed around a lot. I love you, I support you, I'm here for you, you know, I value you, I appreciate you. The words start to flow, and that's good, because most of us haven't heard those words on a regular basis. Most of us haven't heard those words from our families and our friends when we come up. It's pretty recent that, you know, the parents are all huggy-buggy all over the kids all the time. That wasn't the way it was when I grew up. So, you know, so it's a whole different kind of a vibe now. So of course, it's saying, yeah, there is a God, and there is a guide, but I become aware of my guide by the results of my guide, and by the results of my guide, I'll know that my guide is there. So he says, what the Holy Spirit enables you to do, you can always tell when you're listening to the Holy Spirit. He says, because what you will be experiencing will violate every law of reality as the world deems it. So when we're really in touch with our real identity, then the things that we start to experience are things we would normally call impossible, or things that we would think couldn't really happen to us really quick. So when you start to really get in touch with your higher self and your loving self, you're going to say a lot of stuff like, man, I didn't expect this to happen. I never dreamed this could happen. How did this happen? It seems impossible that I could be experiencing this, but I'm actually experiencing this. So as spirit begins to operate in your life, you'll be constantly confronted with loving events and circumstances and things that look like they were beyond what you could have created on your own. So then it goes on to say, and I love this, it says, it's beyond the laws of time and space. It's beyond all of the rules of the world. And of course, as perceiving God's results, you will understand where God must be and finally know where God is. I'm assuming that most of you have some kind of a belief that there's maybe something higher than your ego. Can we get that much? Some of y'all got to believe that there is something greater than you that might be behind things, right? We call it God. Okay, all right. The reason why I'm saying it is because I don't even see why a person would study the Course in Miracles who didn't want to believe in God. I always want to tell people with that attitude, you can get another teaching. That'll be a lot easier for you. Why study a teaching that you don't want to hear the word God in when it's about God? You know, it's like, well, I would love the Course in Miracles to just talk about God. It's like, wait a minute. The Course in Miracles is about God. It is about healing the relationship with God. But this God is a loving God and not a punishing God and not an attacking God. And it's not a body in the sky arbitrarily deeming people right and wrong and punishing them. This class is for people who didn't buy that story. It's not for the people who did buy this story, because they just feel a lot of resistance and a lot of upset. So the course is based on the premise that we were created. We didn't create ourselves. We are created by love. We are created by our Creator. And we can get guidance from that Creator, but we've lost sight with the way that you communicate with that Creator because of what we've learned from the world. Okay, so this section is saying, then the Course always says, you don't have to believe this, you don't have to accept this, you don't have to welcome this. You may find it hard to believe, and you may find it quite startling. And it does that because it knows that if we have to believe everything that we hear, we won't let ourselves hear it. So believing it isn't necessary, but I want to make contact with home base. So, paragraph 4 starts out and says what? You cannot see the Holy Spirit. Well, do we agree? You don't see the Holy Spirit. But the Course says, but you can see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. I can't see, I'll go back to love. Can't see your love, can't touch it, but I can see a manifestation of it, right? He says, we're on page 230, paragraph 4. And it says miracles, and let's explain what a miracle is. The Course says a miracle is nothing but a correct perception. That if we have a correct perception, it's a miracle. Okay, that's called the Course of Miracles. It's not because we're going to part, you know, the Platte River. It's because the Course says, if we actually saw each other correctly, if I actually saw all of you with love, and I actually saw all of you with peace, and I actually trusted everybody, and I was actually in tune with my guidance, that'd be a miracle. If I was seeing everything and everybody correctly, he says that'd be a miracle. So the Course says miracles, I like this. He says miracles are the witnesses to the Holy Spirit, and they speak for the presence of the Holy Spirit. So when you're seeing correctly and you are experiencing a healing, that is your proof that there is a Holy Spirit. I remember when I would fall as a kid and skin my knee. I didn't have to order my knee to heal. I didn't have to affirm it to heal. It just started, the scab started, and it just started the healing process. I did not have to get consciously involved with the healing process. You know what I'm saying? I had a little bite to eat before I came over here. Thank God I don't have to be consciously involved with the digestion. And I don't have to be, could you imagine if I was trying to teach this class and I was trying to remember to breathe and remember to push the blood through my veins and remember to let my kidneys work, and then I got to keep my stomach going, then I got to keep my lungs going. In other words, most of the things that keep us going, we are not conscious of. Is this not true? So I said at another level, most of the things that keep us going, we are not conscious of. That's God. You know, the ego part of the mind is so arrogant that it thinks it can just, that's the little part that thinks it's separate, sits in the chair and wears clothes. That part of us only sees a little bit of everything, right? And then it thinks it can judge the validity and the truth of everything from just the little bit that it knows. So the Course says the reason why we judge everything and we try to interpret what's going on around us is because we're trying to convince ourselves that we know what's going on when we really don't. So if I can make up a judgment about you and then act like that judgment is true, I just convince myself I have knowledge. That's the whole point. That's the whole purpose of judgment. It's to convince you that you know what you really don't know. The truth is, we don't really know nothing. But for an adult, that's very hard to take. So adults focus on the past or the future so that they don't become aware of the fact that they really don't know anything. Because there's not a person in this room that can tell me exactly what they'll be doing 2 hours from now. Exactly. Not one. So what keeps us from being afraid of the future since we really don't know? Well, we sit around and we judge. And we interpret, and then we project that interpretation to the future. I'll decide that when I leave here, I'm going to go to a restaurant and get something to eat. Now, the truth of that is, I just made that up, and then I'm projecting it into the future. But we know a million things could happen between now and the time you decide to go to the restaurant. So the point that the Course is saying is, we need to wake up and realize that we need to get in touch with the guidance that knows more than we know. And that's possible. Then it says, well, the way you become aware of it is through its manifestations. So through the manifestations of love, that's how you know love is there. He says, what you cannot see becomes real to you only through the witnesses that speak for it. So let's say a person can't see their value. You can apply the truth to anything. That's what's so cool about the truth. You can apply it to anything. So let's say a person doesn't see their value, and they don't think that they're enough, and they don't feel like they're valuable, right? So that's what they can't see. How do I make it become real to them? Well, it becomes real to you only through the witnesses that speak for it. So if you can't see your value, but I'm always reminding you that you're valuable, and I'm treating you like you're valuable, and I'm listening to you like you're valuable, well, then what I'm doing is witnessing and speaking for the value that you can't see in yourself, and therefore I'm helping you make it real. That's not codependent, that's called savior. It's called being each other's healer. And you know, it's like, that's codependent. No. Even if it was codependent, it's a codependent that'll take you to another level. Yeah. I'm studying every day to learn how powerful and how spiritual I am and how loving I am, right? Okay, so I'm doing the work. But it sure wouldn't help me to have friends and associates around me who witness to my value also. That's going to speed it along. Most people study books like this and then hang out with people who don't recognize them. See the insanity of that? Does everybody see the insanity of that?
Yeah.
Are you sure that everybody sees the insanity of that? Okay, so you have to ask yourself, what are you really trying to prove to yourself then? Are you trying to be right, or do you want to be happy? Do you want to be right about the fact that you don't value yourself like you think you should, by constantly surrounding yourself with people that reflect back to you that you have no value? Or do you want to be happy? And even though you feel like you're not what you should be, you surround yourself with witnesses that relate to the truth of who you are, and they remind you of just the opposite of what you believe about yourself. Mm. Which one would make the most sense? One makes you happy, the other makes you right. Mm. You know, I'm not enough. I got somebody that's, I'm not enough, I'm right. I'm not enough, you tell me I am enough, then I'm wrong, but I'm happy. I'm wrong, but I'm moving toward love. I'm moving toward the truth about myself. Mm-hmm. So when I come to these classes, the last thing I want my classes to be is another head trip where a bunch of people sit around in a circle and do theoretical issues back and forth. I see it as an opportunity for us to actually give what we want to receive so it can come from the invisible into the visible. Because he's already told us it won't become visible until we witness to it. Since I don't have any grievances with anybody in here, it's easier to witness for you than anybody.
Yeah.
These are my easy witnesses.
Sure.
Right? Okay. So the Course says, but you can be aware of what you can't see, and what you can't see can become compellingly real to you as its presence. Now this is the key word. Now see, this is all these laws. As its presence become manifest through you. It will become real to you as it becomes manifest through you. Okay, so I want to believe I have nerve enough to say to people that they're valuable and that they're perfect. How do I convince myself that that's real? Well, I got to let it manifest through me. So then I look at you and go, you're valuable and you're perfect. Well, that proved to me that I have the power to reach out to another person and tell them they're valuable and they're perfect. Even though that was an invisible thought at first, it became real as it manifests through me. So as long as I sit back, expect it to come to me while I'm not allowing it to manifest through me, I'm going to stay totally frustrated in my life because nothing's going to change. It's scary, okay? Maybe I'm shy. So it's not easy for me to look at a stranger and go, you're so beautiful and you're so valuable and you're so holy. But the only way, it's okay to have your fears. You just don't let your fears tell you what to do and you don't let your fears stop you. So it's not about repressing your fears. It's just about not letting them direct your actions. So even though I might be shy and I'll acknowledge that, I'm still say, brother, you're perfect, you're a holy son of God, you're spiritual, you deserve to be happy, you deserve to have the best, you deserve to have the best, you deserve to have the best. Now, I can sit up here and think it and analyze it, or I can use my body to actually let it come through me and manifest through me and become real by me witnessing it to you. Then that's changing my consciousness because I did it. And anything you experience, the Course says, becomes a belief. It says beliefs come from experience. So when you give yourself the experience of anything, you really believe in it. Like, you really believe you can walk. You don't even give it a second thought. Why? Because I've had the experience of walking. I had the experience of walking in this room, right? So what you believe is really a reflection of what you experience. So as soon as I can give myself the experience of what I'm talking about, the sooner I'll believe it and the sooner I'll achieve it on a regular basis. The wrong mind does it just the opposite. I believe it, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it, and then the experience is going to come, and then the experience is going to make me believe it. That's the slow way. I could go, hey, you know what, Cheryl? you know, I see you as being innocent and that you really deserve to be happy and that you're really powerful. Now, even if I had had some reservations or shyness about saying that, I acknowledge that shyness and then I turn around and I acknowledge you anyway. You want to know what runs? Yeah, I've been doing this 30 years. You want to know what runs people away from a class quicker than anything on the class that has to do with oneness and joining? Who can guess? Make them talk to each other, make them interact with each other, and half the people won't be back the next week. If they have to actually participate in their healing, people don't want to come to anything that they have to participate. Mm. Not, it's always exceptions, but in most cases that's true. Why? Fear. Mm-hmm. That's all. It's just fear. But if a total stranger walked over to you and looked at you in the face and said, you know, I don't really even know you on a really deep personal level, but I really want you to be happy, and anything I can do to support your life being safe and not attacking you, there's no way I could do that with you and not change my consciousness and not open my heart. Regardless, even if you were ready to call 911, you know, well, okay, just stay back. You can wish me well, but stay back, and everything will be okay, you know. And so a conscious being would wish you well and stay back. The Course says fear enters of its own volition. So what's not love forces itself on you. What is love always waits for welcome. Mm-hmm. Love always waits for welcome. Fear doesn't care whether you want it or not, it comes at you. So somebody that's coming at you, whether you want them to or not, that's fear. That's not love. I just got to have you, so I'm going to be so aggressive anyway, even if you're saying you don't want me. Well, that's fear. That's not love. Because if it was love, it'd just be welcoming happening. You're welcome. Another challenge with the Course in Miracles is when you study the Course in Miracles, it teaches you the difference between love and fear. And usually when you find out what love is, you realize you're not doing it. And so you kind of feel a little, your ego tries to make you feel a little depressed about that, because I thought I really was a loving person. But on the other hand, it explains why everything hasn't gone consistently smooth for you. So all of a sudden, it's not that the universe is being unfair, it's just that you haven't been practicing the principles, but you thought you were. So all of a sudden, you realize the universe hasn't been unfair to you. You just wasn't doing love. Okay, so now that I'm learning the difference between love and fear, and then I realize that mostly I've been giving out fear, calling it love, and I don't want no more fear, then a lot of times, a lot of the relationships that are presented to you, you have to say no to, because you recognize they're the old order of fear coming back to you again in another form. And the temptation is to say yes, because it looks like that's all you see in the world is the unreal love. So it's like either go for the unreal love or be alone. Either, in other words, what I mean by unreal is either go for the conditional love or be alone. That's what it looks like. Either I gotta conform to your rules and this bargain that you're making with me, that you're gonna give me this love if I give you this, and you're not gonna give me love if I don't do this. Either I gotta conform to the bargain or I have to not have love. So the Course is trying to get me to understand that when you're dealing with real love, you're dealing with something that transcends everything that the world tells you is possible. And the Course says the Holy Spirit, which is the part of you that knows how to do it, the Holy Spirit is the part of you that knows how to do it. The part of you that knows how to do it has to teach you how to do it so that you can get the perception that allow you to enter those kinds of relationships. And it says over and over again, the Course cannot be done by you without the Holy Spirit. If you think you're going to do the Course in Miracles without getting in touch with your inner guidance, that's another false belief. Because the book is based on the principle that you're not alone, so therefore it's set up that you can't do it alone. Because doing it alone would only reinforce the old paradigm, which is, I got to do it on my own, and I'm on my own trying to do it. So this is a teaching you can't do alone. So again, the attitude of, I'm going to do this by myself, will never work with the Course. It would just take you into fear. So the course is what happens. Well, I'm going to tell you how you do it. Well, first of all, there is a part of you that you don't see, that you don't know is real, that really loves you, and it's going to gradually begin to make its presence known in your life by starting to give you such healing, loving experiences that you'll have to say stuff like, there must be something looking out for me to be having some stuff like this happening in my life now. So I'm telling you what's going to happen first. Things are going to start to happen that you're going to feel is so healing and so cool that you know you didn't do it.
All right.
That's step one. All right. That's what it's saying here in the book. I know a sane mind is happy to hear that. Okay. Now, of course, you have to be crazy not to. You know, and I'm crazy. You know, so you can tell me the most loving things, and I look at you like a beanpole. Because I don't know what you're talking about. My experience has not reflected this so far. So far, this is theoretical. Okay, if it's theoretical, then let's use our bodies to make it real. So let me treat you the way I want to be treated. Let me let the loving thoughts come out of me so that I'll be a witness for you, and therefore I start attracting witness to me, because I'm sick of it being theoretical. I'm sick of sitting around talking about the truth. You know? You know? I know people that sometimes I've studied the truth with for, you know, weeks and months, and we'd be confessing all kinds of, you know, we're friends and we're going to support each other and we're going to be there for each other no matter what. And then I make one mistake. Just one. And actually, in most cases, I didn't even make a mistake. It was a projected mistake, right? And guess what? They're gone. Not a discussion, nothing. Gone. So the first thing I did was I remembered how many times I did that myself. I didn't like that part of the healing process. You know what I'm saying? Because so much of the good feeling I get for projection and blame is believing it's not something to do with me. So that took away a lot of the spice out of the whole thing, you know. So what that person was doing was giving me an opportunity to forgive myself for my own past and to clear my own karma out so that I could be on another level of consciousness where I attract real love. So, spirit is so cool that when you first decide you want to be in a world of peace, you get an opportunity to forgive everybody around you so you can be there. So a lot of times it'll look like there are more things for you to forgive than there was before. It's not that there's more things to forgive than there was before. You're just more aware of your need to forgive. That's all. And forgiveness doesn't involve the other person's cooperation. Forgiveness does not involve the other person's cooperation. It doesn't mean you have to go out to dinner and have tea and, you know. I can forgive you in my mind by releasing you to your joy. Now I'm forgiving you. I'm not interfering with your happiness. I'm not attacking you in any way. I'm not disparaging you in any way. I'm not stopping you from doing anything you want to do in your life. Guess what? You've been forgiven. Now, you'll forgive me when you're ready to be free and when you're ready to be prosperous and when you're ready to be happy. You'll do it for yourself one day. I'm doing it for myself today because I want to be free today. Isn't that a great deal? And you can do it when you get ready, but I'm forgiving you. As far as I'm concerned, we square. I don't know what y'all did to me in a past life, if it was a past life that y'all did something to me, but no matter what you did to me, we square. Everything's cool. I don't even have to remember what it was. As a matter of fact, I don't need to know what it was. That might make it a little bit harder. So I'm glad I'm blissfully unconscious of anything that I would have a grievance against any of you about, and I have no need to dig into my past to find out what it is so that I can forgive it. Watch that theory. I don't have to relive a painful moment over and over again in order to let it go. I love how time took away the thing that I'm most upset about. You know, I'm using time to hold on to the grievance, and the truth is, time took it away. You know, if my dad smacked me when I was a kid, time took that away. Today, my dad isn't smacking me. But I could also use time to sit up here and go, my dad is smacking me so I can never have a relationship. You see what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I could use time to hang on to it. I could use time to let it go. So the Course is saying, do the Holy Spirit's work, for you share the Holy Spirit's function as your function in heaven, which is reality. The Course calls heaven, it's not like the traditional meaning of heaven. it's heaven is perfect joy. So the chorus is saying, you know, the reality that we came from, what created us, is so loving, it's heaven. You know, and this world is not our reality. This world is our school. You did go off to college. You went way off to college. You have no idea how far off you went to college. Because all of us, I'm gonna just throw this out to the group. Who, and this may not be everybody, if you don't feel this way, don't pretend you do, but who in your heart of hearts, from the time you were a little kid, felt like there was another world, that this was not your home, and that this was not the ultimate reality, and that there was something real crazy about this, and you were wondering why other people didn't recognize it? Raise your hand. Yeah. All of us know it. All of us know somewhere in our hearts that this game is not the game that's the real game. That it's not sane to be in the place that you're afraid. That's why we study the course. Because a part of us want to get back to what's real. You know, that's what's so cool about it. So the course says that your function in heaven is creation, so your function on earth is healing. Okay, so your function here is to heal. Here's the Course in Miracles definition of healing, one of them. One of the Course in Miracles definition of healing is the undoing of fear. Okay, so the Course says every time you're undoing conflict in yourself, undoing fear in yourself, you are actually healing, and you're healing your whole experience. So the more experiences I give myself where I'm not making myself afraid and in conflict, I'm in a healing process. All of the relationships and situations in my life that I'm keeping myself in turmoil and fear, I'm making myself sick. Could it really be that simple? You know, so if I'm afraid to talk to you, my relationship with you isn't healing me. So I need to let go of my fear of communicating. That's what we need to do. We need to get rid of the blocks to communication so the fear will go away, so that when we do communicate, it's healing me. Because when you heal your mind through not being afraid, your mind naturally creates loving experiences for you. You don't have to program your mind to be positive. You don't have to program your mind to attract prosperity to you. You just need to let go of the things that keep the prosperity that's naturally your divine right from manifesting. It's like if the blinds are closed and I want sunlight to come into the room, I just have to open the blinds. I don't have to create the sun. So that's where we are. If your life is not fulfilling you, you got the blinds closed. The Course is saying, guess what? You don't even have to open the friggin' blinds. Give me permission to open the blinds for you, because I've had people open blinds for me. Haven't you had people bring me water? So that whole idea that you got to do everything personally in order to get it done is a totally complete illusion. You can have things done for you, but I don't know many people like to do things for people that attack them. So if I'm attacking myself, attacking my universe, and attacking what is, of course it looks like I got to struggle and work hard. Because the universe cooperates with love. The universe doesn't cooperate with attack. Does that make sense? So the more I want things done for me and through me, the more peaceful I have to become. The more unafraid I have to become. So the truth is, this asks for a decision on our part, a heartfelt commitment to your peace. You got to put your peace before anything and anybody, period. It can't be anything, not a child, not a mama, not a daddy. Nothing must come before your desire for your personal peace, because you cannot give what you do not have. You cannot share what you don't have. And to think you can be miserable yourself and make somebody else happy is a total and complete illusion. So that's why the Course says, I let myself be healed. He says it all through the book. Let yourself be healed. Let me not. Lots of people says, let me not. Whew. So the old self is going to say, put me in those situations that create fear and conflict for me. Your old self is going to say, do that because that makes me strong. And then your new self is going to go, make a conscious commitment to your peace and to your happiness, and don't give in to that old order. And then the invisible will say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send so much love into your life, more than you ever thought you could imagine, to the point that you know that love for you exists, and spirit for you exists, and God for you exists. This is the plan. But your part in the plan, your part in the plan is to learn how to let go of your fear. To learn how to let go of your fearful perceptions. And the course is about teaching us how to do that. Any questions or comments about what I've said so far? Or the premise, I want to premise it like this then. What I heard you say that was helpful to me was... One thing I heard you say that was helpful to me was manifest. See if you would dare to manifest. See if you would dare come out of your invisible state and manifest you into the room. Thank you, brother.
Raj, I would say that the thing that was most helpful that you said for me was that we're here to heal.
Mm.
Because I get real caught up in, I need to like make my life happen.
Mm-hmm.
I need to live. I don't know if there's anything else. Anywhere, ever. So it's nice to know that, you know, you can say that with such conviction that I, the conviction that I can actually feel it
mm-hmm.
in my body,
mm-hmm.
even though it makes me feel a little uncomfortable. Because
mm-hmm.
then I thought, you know, kind of start going, well, what the hell's wrong?
Okay, thank you. Thank you. One thing I heard that was helpful for me was...
One thing I heard that was helpful for me was that if you can't do it for yourself, somebody else can do it for you.
Say that one more time. Please.
One thing that you said that was helpful to me was that if there's something that I can't do for myself, somebody else can do it for me.
Just like that Sexuality says, you know, I could ask for it for both of us.
Right.
You know. You don't think you're worthy for some reason, I can get right in your face and say, you know, that's not true. You can say it. I'll let you say it. But I'm not believing that about you. And there's something about that. Because since we're kind of in a codependent society anyway, that we look at so much of our self-esteem comes from the kind of relationship we form. Because the only thing that's real really is relationships. Everybody knows that, right? That it's only union in relationship that makes life anything. Without relationship, there is no experience. So rather than fight with the codependency thing, it becomes, okay, since I know right now I give a lot of power to what other people say to me, then I'm going to make sure that I'm around people that are saying the things to me as much as I can that I need to hear and needs to be said to me. So rather than fight that tendency on my part, I'll use that tendency on my part to my advantage. And in the meantime, while I'm surrounding myself with people that's affirming my value, I'll be doing my meditation, study, and prayer so I can get to the point that I realize it from within myself also. So I'm working both ends against the middle. I'm doing both of them at the same time. Cool. Anybody else? One thing that you heard that for you was an aha, or that was helpful for you was?
One thing that I heard you say, Earl, was that I have a loving, powerful inner guide
mm-hmm.
who can actually lead me into the right direction and help me take the next right step.
That's what excites me the most. The idea of the Holy Spirit is my favorite part of the Course in Miracles. That idea that I'm not by myself and that I got guidance. I love that. And it's proven to be true. It's proven to be so true. That's a great one. Anybody else? Something that you heard that was helpful to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You are. You are valuable and perfect.
I'm ready real pretty.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. The thing that was helpful to me was whatever you experience or believe, because it's true. It's how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much easier.
So whatever you experience, you believe.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Because I tried to do the believe, and then the experience never came.
Yeah. And here's another one that's another little bonus. You can ask. Like, for instance, I could go
Dilly. Keeping it hood.
Sure.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Okay. Now, I could have sat over there until the chickens come home and we'll wait for Doug to get up and come home.
First of all, Doug had no idea I wanted to be hooked. So, ask yourself, how many people you're holding grievances against for not reading your mind?
So many.
You didn't ask. Or your ego made sure you asked who wouldn't give it to you. See, I knew the odds were stacked in my favor that Doug was going to give me a hug. You know what I'm saying? It's like I found that you're much more likely to receive what you want when you go where it's located. it's a radical concept. It's a theory. I'm working on it. Or here's another one the Course says. If you isolate yourself and expect to have relationships, that's the other big one. You know, it's like I never leave my apartment, but I'm mad because nobody's spending time with me. I never invite anybody over, but I'm upset because I'm never being invited anywhere. Or I do it like a bargain. I invited you this week, so you better invite me next week. I invited you 2 times, so you better invite me 2 times. Well, I'm up to 5 times, and they only asked me out 1 time, but it was your idea to ask them out in the first place. You know what I'm saying? It's like somebody invites you over for dinner, and then they invite you over for dinner, and then they get mad because you didn't invite them over for dinner, but it was their idea to invite you over to dinner to begin with. So it should have been a gift. It shouldn't have had any kind of strings attached. The fact that you showed up should have been the reward. That should have been the exchange, was the fact that they wanted you to come and you were there. Debt paid. It was done, you know. So the course is nothing but full of universal law. So it says God shares his function. And also questions. I've been doing this book since 1980, so please, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you have a question about something, just ask me, and I promise you, I can share with you what the Course says about that. Save you some time. Because I know the tricks. I know the tricks it pulls to delay people, the ego.
I have one.
Okay.
I kind of have the problem of, like, attracting the same relationships into my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if it's that I just need to change my perception, or if I really am surrounding myself in relationships that don't appreciate me.
You're right. Both.
Awesome. So I just need to change my perception.
Change your perception and get some new friends.
Okay. So I have to do both.
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. One thing that's interesting with most of the people I would know, let's say they become born again. Mm-hmm. The first thing they did was they focused themselves on being around other people who were born again, and they let go of everybody else who wasn't moving in the same direction for a while, long enough for them to get rooted in their new beliefs. A person that's going to AA is not going to hang around in the beginning with people who are drinking all around them and tempting. Not that they're condemning anybody that's doing it. It's not supporting my goal. So the thing that I'm going to make a radical shift from guilt to innocence, from thinking I'm a victim to knowing I'm a creative being of God, yet still hang around with the same kind of mental communication and conversation, would be analogous of the same thing. If you're really ready to go to another level of consciousness, at first you immerse yourself in that new level of consciousness and everybody that's supporting that new level of consciousness. And then when you become strong enough within yourself, you can be around anybody. So it's not a permanent isolation. It's just separating yourself long enough to become rooted in the thought system that you yourself say you want to be real. And then as you become rooted in it, then you can go anywhere around anybody and actually bring more love and healing to all those situations. But if in the beginning, I can't give myself 1 hour of sane talk or speak, like at a class like this, and then turn around for the other rest of the week, don't put myself around any people that's saying it, don't pick up a book, don't study, don't do anything but immerse myself in the world, then I'm deceiving myself, because that's not going to make a change. You're not giving yourself enough of the, being rooted in the new thought system to make a change. That's why I encourage the dialogue, not to analyze, but you, when you share an idea, the Course says it becomes stronger, and the more who share the idea, the stronger it becomes. So when we share the truth and the ideas of the truth and the ideas of our values back and forth, we're increasing the power of that idea and the experience of that idea, and so we create it in our physical world and we experience it more. So the most freeing word at the very beginning is going to be no. The word that's going to free you the most in the beginning is going to be no. Okay, I'm reckoning, like you just said, I just have one relationship. It just has different bodies.
Right.
Yeah, I've been totally monogamous my entire life. I've just only been with one woman. She just changed bodies. I've never been but with one woman my whole life. She just changed bodies. And this body will contain as much love as it can and grow with me as long as it can. And when that body can no longer hold or be a channel for that love and that love just goes through another body that's better able to let it come through. Just like repotting a plant. You just get to the point that the pot just can't hold the plant. And some people are pots that can't hold your plant. And they did a really good job for a period of time. But could you picture trying to put an oak tree in a flower pot? That's what we try to do when some people have gone as far as they can with us in their consciousness and their ability to let love through. And then love is going to always seek the way that it can get to you. And so when it can no longer get to you through one form, love will come to you through another form. And that's what I mean by the one relationship that keeps changing bodies. It doesn't have to change bodies. But if more love can't come to you through that body's got to go. Because the universe is about giving us more and more and more and more and more and more love.
I'm looking for a better pot.
You looking for a better pot? Well, don't let the police get you. That's all I got to say. There's a lot of people looking for better pots.
I'm looking right down the street.
That's right. The Course Kids always says a sense of humor is very important to spiritual enlightenment. It's up to people lose that. Okay. Did that make sense about the content coming to you through different forms?
Yeah.
Have some of you had relationships that you just could not let the love come through to you, and then you went to another relationship and then it did? And you found yourself experiencing a relationship that was unlike any relationship you've had in the past? Okay, that's normal. That's a good guy to tell us something like that. That's normal. It's normal. It's normal. It's normal to have very intense relationships and then appear to separate. And it's also normal to have lifelong relationships, but they're more rare. It's much more normal to join for a while, then separate, and then join and separate. That's much more normal. Haven't y'all noticed that?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's stop beating yourself up about that. It's normal. Some of you are just more normal than others. You know, you've done a better job at, you know, changing the bodies. But if you really focus on the truth, I promise you, everybody that shows up will be giving you a little bit more love, a little bit more appreciation, a little bit more acknowledgement than the body before. The way that you let go of the past, according to the Course, is to experience so much love and fulfillment in the present that it just doesn't occupy your mind anymore. There's too much going on right now that's too good for you to spend your time thinking about the way it used to be, because it's too full right now. That's the plan. Isn't that a cool plan?
Yeah.
All right, so all we have to do is in our hearts be open and receptive to that plan. And so what we're going to start seeing now is more things coming into our experience that's loving, that we didn't expect, that we didn't see how it could happen, so that we can start to believe in an invisible love that's there for us that we haven't been aware of. That's the plan. All right, thanks for listening to this much with me tonight. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge us. We let some acknowledgement for us come through our body, through the body. Yeah. You created this. This came from your consciousness. What you heard came from you. 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 From you. What you heard came from you. That's right, came from you. thank you for your generosity with my full-time ministry with the course. Right now, I'm up to just 200 classes online. 200, and you can access those classes and download those classes for as little as $19.95. So go to my website, earlpurdy.com, or earlpurdy.net, either one of them, and just check out the website. All of my classes, I update them, and you'll be able to find them on the internet so you can listen to it again. Test the 1-2. So Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, I'll be doing the 11 o'clock service. I'll be doing 11 o'clock service, and then I'll be doing the class at 1 o'clock. Daylight saving time is happening this weekend. So spring forward. The notebook is in there if you want to get a copy of tonight's class about joining together. And I'd like to invite you to come to the course in miracles when you don't feel like it. And I'd like to invite you to come to the course in miracles when you're not happy. And don't feel like you can only come around when you're feeling great. And take advantage of the group. Because we're starting a new cycle. Okay, this is the cycle of my classes. They start off like this, then they grow. Then we move in there, and then we get loud and boisterous and laugh and hug, and then everybody, half the people disappear, and then we start off again in the living room. Okay, so we start, this is that cycle, last bit of the time. It was about one of the longest ones that I've had. And now we're on another level. It just means we're on another level now. Everybody's where they should be, so it's not attacking anybody. But it just means that it's all aspiring. You know, at each time we get a little bit deeper. You know, so welcome to the latest cycle. And I'm always curious to see who is here for it. So let me complete right quick. So just close your eyes a minute and let yourself just relax before we go out into the world again. Now remember, you can't see your good, but you can see its manifestations. And unless you see the manifestations of your inner guide, you won't realize that you have an inner guide that's here with you. The miracles you are about to experience in your life are the witnesses to the Holy Spirit's presence. What you cannot see becomes real to you only through the witnesses that speak for it. What you cannot see becomes real to you only through the witnesses that speak for it. So that means you can become aware of what you can't see. And what you can't see right now can become compellingly real to you as its presence becomes manifest through you. So as you go out into the world, this is the thought that reflects this lesson. I am going to give what I want to receive. I'm going to give what I want to receive. I'm going to give what I want to receive. I'm going to give what I want to receive. And don't necessarily look for it to come back through the person you gave it to. Don't necessarily look for it to come back through the person you gave it to. The person you gave it to, that was just the opportunity to give. They gave you an opportunity to give. But it's going to come back to you. I promise you, it will come back to you, and I'm going to share with you how it's going to come back to you. This is the way it's going to come back to you. This is the way it's going to come back to you. This is the way it's coming back to you. This is the way it's coming back to you. It's going to come back to you in just the form that you need it in. It's going to come back to you in just the form that you need it in. It's going to come back to you in just the form that you need it in. It doesn't necessarily come back to you in the way that you gave it. It doesn't necessarily come back to you through the person that you gave it to. It's going to come back to you in the way that you need it. It's going to come back to you in just the way that you need it. So give what you want to receive. 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 And also, as much as you can, start choosing to be around people who you don't feel fear with. As much as you can, choose to be with people that you don't feel fear with. Even if you have to be around some people that you do have some fear with, as much as you can, start choosing to be around people that you feel peace with, that you feel safe with. Every time you allow yourself to be around someone you feel peace with or safe with, it allows more love to come into your life, and that love takes the form of abundance, and that love takes the form of health, and that love takes the form of wealth, and that love takes the form of right relationship, and that love takes the form of the right career and the right function and expression of yourself in the world. See you next time.
Appreciate y'all. Hugs are available for those who want hug tests.